Hi, my beautiful people. This is Femi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 19. Oh my God, I can't believe we're on day 19. Y'all, what a remarkable journey. I'm so excited. I just can't even, I'm trying to conceptualize the words and to express my gratitude. I'm just so happy. I'm so grateful. And, I'm happy that we're all here together. I want to welcome all of my new listeners. Oh my God, thank you guys so much. I don't know how you found me, but I'm super happy you have. Thank you guys so much for your love. Thank you for your support. And I hope that this space feels very sacred and makes you feel seen. Please listen to any episode you feel drawn to listen to. We are in the middle of our fast that we are embarking on and have been embarking on since the 7th of January. If you are interested in hearing about the reason behind it and ways that you can be assisted at any point, you can start over at any point, you can join and pick up where we are. But it is a fast that is very intentional. So I welcome you to listen from the beginning. Also, you can listen to any episodes. I have a plethora of things that I discuss on this particular podcast, and it will definitely be of use for you. And I hope that it helps you along whatever journey you're on. For all of my subscribers that have been here, you've been here a long time, and I'm thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm honored to be used as a vessel in this way, and I do not take that lightly. So thank you guys so very much for your continued support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for it all. I'm so grateful, so grateful, so grateful. For all of you, as you know, this week I will be closing out, making the Dallas Hope Dealer page private because we will begin our journey, sacred communion, as I say, on that page, where I will share more about from experiences, how to navigate different life things, how to navigate grief, how to navigate changes when it comes to relationship, how I navigate my my relationship with my fiance who's deployed. I will speak about corporate America, navigation, dealing with the different changes and shifts, especially during all of the things that are happening with layoffs. I will be discussing a lot of different things in more video form. I may do lives. I'm not sure about that yet, but I will be bringing more to that particular page. I do have a public page that is I Am Femi Shavery. It is verified on both Facebook and Instagram, so you are free to join either of those communities. All of them are very good and sacred and have a lot of information for you, but the Dallas Hope Dealer page will be where I will put a lot of my resources and tools and share a lot of the things that I know and share a lot of the people that I know as well that can assist you no matter where you are in the world. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into today's devotion. I am really still so in awe of David's story, right? David's journey, David's path, and how it's aligning with where we are in our fast. Yesterday, this is the first time, it may be the second time in the history of my fast that the day before, so let's say we're on day one, I've not had 2 days run together connectedly in the way that this particular episode has ran into the story of David from yesterday. And it's because it's so significant in where it is. I feel we are in our journey. We are in a very intentionally I'm not going to say volatile. It's not volatile, but it's one of those situations. It's where those spaces where we're really in a battle. Right, we're battling with ourselves, we're battling with others, we're battling with what we feel is needed, we're battling what we feel we want, we're battling with a lot of things at one time. As we're on this journey and we're hoping and we're praying to and trying to continue our journey of believing, a lot of things have already come to pass. So I want you guys to know There are a lot of things that have already come. A lot of the things you've been asking for. If you've been doing the work, you've been praying, you've been doing your journaling daily, you have been intentional about your devotionals, you can look around your life and look at how much progress you've made from the 7th to today. And I want you to sit in the blessing of that. The fact that you've made it this far, the fact that we are breathing, our health is good. Our family is protected. We have some people are getting job offers, and you are really in this, influx of beautiful things that are happening in your relationships, an outpouring of love, friendships, communion, community, everything. All of these things are happening. But there are also moments, and there are also things that are occurring that make us feel like we are coming against our own personal storms. And we've been. But the beautiful part about it is understanding the overall picture, right? We have to understand the overall picture. We have to understand everything we're dealing with. We have to understand everything we're growing through. But I think that it's even more significant to understand that there are very unlikely advocates that are sent into this path with you that will assist you in conquering whatever obstacles there may be along your way. Now, one of the things that I feel is so important is that we also understand that God's favor is intentional. It's certain things that He's looking at, it's certain things that He's looking for, it's certain things that He needs from you, in order to choose you to go down a certain path. Okay, now when we speak about that, we're speaking about, wow, like I need to present myself a certain way for God to say, yes, you. I need to talk like these people, be in a room with these people, do all that. No, at your most nakedness, God is looking for something in you that makes Him trust in your capabilities to do whatever it is that He's assigning you to do. Now, let's talk about David. Okay, David, 1 Samuel, let's speak about David. David was a very unlikely source. He was a very unlikely advocate. It didn't appear that he had what it took to defend anyone's honor, to win or conquer any beast, to be sent into a battle to defeat or defend any army. Okay, he did not appear to be the likely source. Now, this is the difference between God and man. Whether this be a job, whether this be a relationship, whether it be the ability to bear children or not, whether it be the community that you serve or the business you start, or a routine that you've created for yourself, right? It doesn't appear that you would be the likely advocate or the likely source or that person that creates such a ripple effect of change in an atmosphere based on the physicalities or your credentials or your reputation. It doesn't appear that you are the likely source. It appears that there are better candidates, or there are better there are better resources, or there are better ambassadors, or there are better spokespersons, et cetera, and so on than you, because you do not appear to be what it is that would qualify to defeat whatever it is this journey entails. Now, let's think about this. Let's speak about this, okay? Because David was a little boy, right? He was a young boy when he defeated Goliath. He was not a grown man. He did not have the fervor that he grew to have. He did not have the strength, it appeared, to be able to conquer this. He was the youngest of seven other brothers. It was eight of them total. He was the baby. So he was just a worker. He was just the shepherd boy. He was not equipped in the physicality to be anywhere to defeat an army. He was not prepared. He was not skilled. He did not have the resources or the tools. And he just appeared to be there, right? He just had a job at the company. He just, you know, went to that school. He just happened to have, you know, great family that gave him a door in to work there, or he just so happened to stumble across this vitamin that worked, or he just happily, you know, worked into this community or knew someone who lived in the community, and so he moved into the community, et cetera, so on. He did not have what it took at face value to be in the space that he was able to be in and do the things that he was able to do. But this is where you understand that what man looks at and what God looks for are totally different things, because what would equip you in the natural eye of man has no weight with God. It does not make him feel any way that you're more equipped than the other person based on the things that man looks at. It doesn't matter about your resume. He doesn't care about who you know. Doesn't care about how you look. Doesn't matter about your culture, creed, or race. Doesn't matter about your credentials. Does not matter about how thin you are. Does not matter how fit you are. Does not matter about, you know, how much you can lift. Does not matter about how much you can run. Does not matter about how good your health is. Does not matter about how eloquently you speak. Does not matter how articulate you are. Does not matter. Does not matter. Does not matter. None of that matters. Okay. God is not impressed with that. Every person that they brought to God or brought to Samuel to approve for them to be sent as an appointed king appeared to be what it took at face value. But each of them, God said no to. And in Acts 13:22, God says that he chose David. He wants David because David is a man after his own heart. Now, does that mean that David was perfect? No. Does that mean that David didn't have flaws? No. Does that mean that David didn't make mistakes? No. Does that mean that David didn't make decisions that went against the will of God? No. Does that mean that David was the most powerful, the strongest, the most handsome, the most articulate? No. But God saw his heart. That doesn't mean that David was the kindest. Doesn't mean that God thought he was the nicest or he was the most polite or meek. No. See, when you think about God's heart, and you think about when he says, "I want David because David is a man after my own heart," that means that he wanted his heart. He wanted something that mirrored himself, which means if you know, if you've read anything in the Bible, if you've understood Genesis and you realize how he sent Noah to pull all these animals and pull all the people, choose two of everything to put on this boat to protect them so that he could be able to create new. As he destroyed everything else, you understand a little bit about the wrath of God. You understand why in Joshua, when God sent Joshua to the other side of the Jordan River, and he was facing all of this conflict and all of this, you know, because God sent Joshua there to pass a word, to give them, you know, go get what I sent you for. And when he realized they'd gone against him, God did what? Punished. So you understand the duality of God. You understand that God has a wrath and God also has a reward. God loves, but he also has the power to destroy. God will utilize his capabilities in any way he deems necessary to get what it is that is his father. It's his. Right? So you understand that by him saying to David, or saying to Samuel, that he wants David because he's a man after his own heart, that no matter what these other options are that you gave me, they do not resemble me. They do not look like me. They do not represent me. They do not embody the me that I needed to embody to conquer where it is that I'm sending them after. So I want David. Now, when you look at David at the time of him battling Goliath, David was the youngest. David did not have the skills. David did not have the resources. David did not have anything but favor. That's all he had. He had God in his corner because of his heart. So he showed up with what he had, which was his heart, his stone, four stones, and his staff. That's all he had. His sling. That's all he had. So he shows up outnumbered, not prepared, but ready for war. Ready for war. That's heart. That's heart. So despite there being other options that God could have chosen, despite there being better choices that appeared at naked eye, God chose David. And David did what he was sent out to do, whether he was afraid or not, whether he was outnumbered or not, whether all of the soldiers he was defending were there or not. He was going to battle the tallest, biggest, most deadliest of them all in honor of God, because God sent him there. And that giant, that beast, that strongest of them all went against what God sent, which was his soldiers. They were on a mission for God. Goliath went against them, prevented them from doing what God wanted them to do, which prevented them from seeing out the journey. Goliath wasn't afraid, though. They were afraid. Even though God sent them there, they were still afraid. God knew that David had something that they did not, and that was heart. And so as I look at this and I'm reading through the text and I'm trying to conceptualize my words to articulate just how blessed this entire story is, it brings me to, in summary, repeat what's in chapter 1 Samuel chapter 1. And he says, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at his heart." I keep that in my mind, right? Because when you have a vision of how small, it's almost like the Napoleon syndrome, right? It's the smaller the person, the bigger the audacity, right? I have the biggest heart. I got the biggest courage. I got the biggest because I'm not afraid of whatever it is that I'm facing, because I already know who sent me here. And I already know that he is the most powerful of it all. And I already know that he got my back. So there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can put in my way that's going to destroy me. Anyway, even if it hurts me, even if it makes me feel afflicted, even if it makes me feel away, I'm still going to be the overcomer. I'm still going to outnumber you because of who I am with. Right? Much like the disciples in the boat. When Jesus was in the boat, he's asleep. That's the man side of him. Like, "Jesus, you tired right now? Like, these waves is about to take us down and you sleeping?" Jesus wakes up after, you know, the ruckus, and you're screaming and you're shouting and you're getting him up, and he's saying, "Yea, of little faith. Where is your faith? You got me. If I got Jesus and if I got God with me, I don't care what it is. I got this. Right? And so this is what we're in. We're at this place where we can't be defeated. We cannot have an anger. We can't be destroyed. We can't feel downtrodden because of what something looks like. Understand this. Everything is working out for you. Okay? Remember in the beginning of the fast, I told you guys my mantra, which you should be repeating either to yourself or creating your own. You should be repeating as of now, every day. You should have been repeating. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Not because the weapon isn't powerful, but because of who it's aimed at. If I'm with God and God is for me and he assigned me somewhere, ain't nothing you can do to stop me. There's nothing you can say that's going to stop me. There's nothing you can do that's going to stop me because I'm coming out on top. No matter how many I'm against, no matter how big, no matter how good they look, no matter how strong they are, no matter how much money they got, no matter how much they are typically able to convince people with lies and deceit, they cannot overcome me because of who I'm with and who I was sent by. So we're coming in this space, and you're thinking about David and the type of courage that he had to have to go against Goliath. But he wasn't afraid. But he was originally sent here just to feed the soldiers and to silence the torment that was happening with Saul because of his disobedience. And God was punishing him, disciplining him, tormenting him. But the only thing that would calm it was David playing the harp. Not just any person could come and play the harp and silence God's wrath. It was David because he was chosen. He was covered, and God knew that. God did that. And because God sent him in that space, utilizing him in that way was a blessing to Saul, even though he was disobedient. That shows God's favor, grace, his mercy right there. So when we look at and we put this in practical terms of our own life, God sent you somewhere. He sent you to that job. He sent you in that relationship. He ordained you to birth these children. He put you in this community. He put you in this place. He has you battling what you're battling for a specific reason. And most times, what it is you're battling isn't even about you. It is in defense and honor of him. It is in the face of adversity you are having to battle because of who sent you, not because you deserve it, not because you necessarily did anything. It's because of what and who you represent. And this is what we have to understand when it comes to affliction and it comes to delays, when it comes to moments in our relationships, relationship with self, relationship with people, relationship with companies, relationship with what's going on societally. This is about understanding this is nothing to do with you. Sometimes it is your choices. Sometimes you led yourself astray. Sometimes you are having to reap what you've sown. But for those who are literally on a path following the purpose of God, we know God sent us here. We know God told us this was ours. We know that God wants us here. When we know that, we cannot be naive to the fact that we will face adversity. And sometimes we got to push the sling back. Sometimes we got to release the boomerang. Even when we feel outnumbered, even when we feel like it's too much for us to conquer, even when it feels like there's no way we can defeat what we are up against, we have to understand when we are sent on a mission, we are on assignment, there's no way we are going without everything we need to survive, come out on top, and conquer it, because God has to get the glory. God is not sending you somewhere without what you need to come out as a loser. He can't lose. So when you understand that you are up against, now understand this. Sometimes we put ourselves in places that we're not supposed to be. And this is where you have to get real with yourself. Is this what God wants for me? Is this where God has me? Because if he doesn't, I need to get back in alignment with where he has me, because I can avoid a lot of affliction if I just remain obedient and steadfast. If I just remain committed to where it is he's leading me to. Yes, this is a drawn out process and I am over it, but God sent me here, so I got to keep going. Sometimes that means conquering the beast within yourself. If you know that I am trying to overcome something, you know that I am trying to work through a lot of things, and I'm trying to overcome the fear and the anxiety or whatever the case may be. If I'm trying to resist temptation, if I'm trying to be more disciplined, if I'm trying to put myself on a better schedule, if I'm trying to, you know, raise my children right, raise my children in a healthy environment. If you know that I'm trying to be a better spouse, I'm trying to be a better friend, I'm trying to be a better daughter, whatever, husband, son, whatever. That means that I have to, it requires me to do certain things, and there are certain levels of you that have to go away. That means you have to show yourself that you deserve it. Do you believe you deserve it? Do you believe that God chose you for this? Do you believe that you're worthy enough of it? Do you believe that the God that you say you serve has chosen you for the path that you're on? And if you do, you got to be willing to go the strong mile. You got to be willing to fight through. You got to be willing to stand tall, because he's doing that for you. And in that is where you show heart. In that is where you show how dedicated and disciplined and steadfast you are in what it is you say you believe in, because you can't physically see it. But you reap the reward of being obedient when you do. And this is where currently we're coming in this space where we're beginning to see the fruit of our labor, the work. We're beginning. God is beginning to show us a little bit of the reward of where it is that we are. And we have to remain steadfast in the process, because this isn't everything. You haven't received the full victory yet. You haven't received everything you deserve yet. You haven't gotten to that finality of reaping the full benefits yet. It's en route, but along the journey, you're given reward for your obedience. Right? For your obedience. So for a lot of us, this is also standing up for yourself, speaking your truth, defeating the thoughts in your mind, defeating the people that come against you with ill intentions, walking away. A lot of this has torn you down. A lot of this has made you feel afflicted and sad and really out of sorts. And you're in this shell and you're just battling with yourself. Why? When you know God is for you, there's nothing that can win that's going against you. So it does not harm you. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said this, or I shouldn't have did this, or I shouldn't have, you know, went there. You should have went wherever God assigned you to go. And anything that went up against that is God's business. Because justice in any case is going to be served on your behalf due to God sent you there. And you did God's work. You did good. That's all you need to focus on. Stop thinking because it doesn't pan out the way you envision that it's in vain. It is not. Everything works out for his good. Everything works out on your behalf because he sent you. So you don't have to worry about what they may look like. You don't have to worry about what people may say. Because what did he say? He will put and make your enemies your what? Exactly, your footstool. You cannot lose. You cannot lose. So you're continuing on this path of doing what you know you need to do. You're continuing to do the work. You're continuing to stand tall in what it is that you know. Continue to do that. Understand that what is here for you is reciprocal. Understand that is what's here for you is going to value you. Understand that what is here for you is going to support and contribute to the evolution of who you are. It's going to give you what you need. It's going to give you who you deserve. It's going to be and place you in a space where you can flourish. It is not going to be a space that defiles you, that reduces you, that makes you feel less of, that makes you feel less than. And this is where we are. We're at the space where we've had to take a lot of leaps. We're in the part of the journey where we have had to take risks. We've had to bet on ourselves. And perhaps that's a part of your lesson, choosing to bet on yourself. You don't bet on yourself enough. You're too afraid to stand in what you know. You're too afraid to stand in who you are. You're too afraid to be all that you are. You're too afraid to stand in the knowing that you deserve it all. Because I don't think you've really put in realization that God has chosen you for this moment. I don't think you really understand that there is a gift on you. I don't think that you really understand the favor that you have. I don't think that you really have grasped how blessed you are. And so perhaps this is where you sit in the knowing of that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because God chose me. I'm blessed because I am covered. I'm blessed because I am safe. I'm blessed because I am loved. I'm blessed because God says so. Everything that I've seen, everything I've experienced, everything I've endured was I was supposed to. So expect there to be a turnaround in your circumstances. Expect you to be rewarded for the work that you've put in. Expect you to be covered and protected through all of the trial and the tribulation you may have faced. Expect that. Expect that you will not be in a deficit behind the work that you've done on behalf of God because he sent you. There's no way that he can get the glory in your failure. He didn't send you there for that. He sent you there so people can think you may have failed at something, only to exalt you above what they deem as failure and rise you to a level that they could never reach. That is what God is doing. That is what God has said. That is what God has promised you. He did not put you in this relationship. He did not put you to be the parent of these children for this relationship to turn out in vain. Everything God touches is blessed. Every circumstance and situation you endure is to make you stronger, better, and more attuned to Him and more attuned to His favor, more attuned to what it is that He wants and desires for your life. There is no way you can fail. So this is a repairing of everything. This is a repairing of your life. This is a repairing of your relationships. This is the rewards that you're reaping from offers coming in for opportunities, new opportunities, blessings that are rolling in all of a sudden that you didn't expect because of your obedience. You're literally sitting on a gold mine and you don't understand it, but it lies in your heart. So understanding this and sitting in the power of this and knowing that God has you and God has protected you and God has really, really fought on your behalf, all you have to do is remain obedient. Do not get distracted. Do not feel like you have lost anything because you have it. You're not going to lose anything. That isn't what this mission is about. This mission is to show you just how much heart you have. It's to show you just how much you are covered, just how ordained you are, and also to look in hindsight and see just how far God has brought you. It wasn't a mistake. It is all on purpose. Okay? So I want you to understand that. I want you to know that. I want you to believe in that. And I want you to really sit in the knowing that every weapon that has formed against you is being sent back. It's being sent back tenfold. It cannot win. It will not survive. It has no power because of who you are. God has put too much in you. God has covered you too much. God has ordered your steps. He ain't gonna allow nothing that comes up against that to win. He can't. He got a point to prove. So continue to believe in that. Continue to feel that. Continue to know that. Continue to know that God has you covered in every angle, every which way you look. There is nothing that stands against what God has ordained. Nothing. So as you're navigating through this day, you're navigating through this, I want you to understand the impact that you truly have and understand how much God loves you and how much He is choosing to use you in this season. You're good. It's all good. Everything is working out on your behalf because it has no choice. It has no choice. Okay? I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for all of your love and your support. I cannot wait to see all of the fruit of your labor. I cannot wait. It's amazing how mind blown you're going to be. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself and be gentle with others. Bye.